This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. We're starting off with a headline that's been really making the rounds after Nazir Razak shared his thoughts on how he would tackle corruption.
Yes. So Tan Sri Nazir Razak, brother of Datuk Sri Najib Razak, said that he would introduce a shoot-to-kill anti-graft policy if he was in power, specifically pointing to a method that was introduced in Hong Kong in the 1970s, where its government offered amnesty to offences committed before 1977, but subsequently adopted a very strong approach, hence the shoot-to-kill, very evocative, against future violations. Now, to be clear, this was not something that he kind of offered willy-nilly or out of the blue. Instead, he was answering a hypothetical question at an event on addressing our systemic problems in Malaysia, and that includes, of course, corruption.
Needless to say, it's drawn a fair amount of reactions, mixed reactions, I will say. Some of them quite pointed. Specifically, you mentioned Datuk Sri Najib earlier. Some of the reactions are circling around the point of, the person making the statement and the irony of it. But in a more substantive sense, when we talk about whether this would be a useful approach for us to adopt, Sivarasa Rasia, for instance, told Malaysia Kini that amnesty could be considered for lesser crimes. He did agree that Hong Kong's efforts are worthy of emulating and said that it is, however, important for there to be independent and effective enforcement when it comes to anti-graft success.
Yeah, so that is very much reflected in a statement by Fahmi Fazil in the same article, basically saying that there needs to be a reform and improvement of the MACC and that, having a shoot-to-kill policy is all well and good, but it's not enough because things like political funding, constituency development funds, asset declarations by MP, all these things also need to be addressed. And there is a dissenting voice. So former finance minister Datuk Sri Johari Abdul Ghani said he's not open to amnesty being granted in corruption cases, warning of the consequences of granting amnesty for small cases, and that may lead offenders to commit bigger or more corrupt practices, and that there shouldn't be a difference between whether corruption is serious or not. And, you know, I think that it's those are particularly fine and tricky points, because determining what is serious, what isn't, determining the year that's going to be a cutoff point for amnesty, I think all these finer points need to be worked out before one can really consider this on its own merits.
Yes, and again, to be clear, this is actually a response to a question that Nazir was asked at an event. But we are talking about a statement from him where when he was asked what he would implement if he was in power, he essentially talked about a policy that grants amnesty for past acts of corruption, followed by a shoot-to-kill anti-graft policy moving forward. So we're going to unpack what that means. We'd like to hear from you. Would you like to see this principle applied? Do you think there should be amnesty for mild corruption? You can call 77332900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to discuss this further is Cynthia Gabriel, human rights advocate at C4. Cynthia, good to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
So this strategy that Nazir has brought up, help us unpack it. Theoretically speaking, would it work? How would it work?
Well, there's been a lot already said about the different proposals from, I think he's now with Tan Sri Nazir. But my take on this is that the message that was coming across is that corruption is manifesting itself so seriously in this country. We definitely need stricter laws, stricter enforcement, stricter measures to develop a better room for punishments around serious corrupt offences and corrupt offences in general. So I'd like to take the proposals one by one. The first is to actually look at amnesty. The situation of amnesty is something that needs better discussion, because it has not been decided what is a small corruption crime versus a serious, grave corruption crime. So that needs to be established first, because if you look across the board, Nazir is right in saying that it's so widespread that it's going to be very difficult to actually get reforms by the very people who commit corruption. So an amnesty would actually let off several people off the hook, or maybe many, many people off the hook. But that doesn't mean it's going to actually solve the problem. So in the case of Malaysia, I believe we have good laws. We have a national anti-corruption plan. We have a way to execute these laws, but the problem is it is not being executed. It's not being taken seriously, and it is certainly not being enforced satisfactorily. And even law enforcement officials have now shown to be corrupt themselves. And we've had several incidents of the past that have been very worrying, where anti-corruption commission staff and personnel have been found to be guilty of stealing recovered stolen assets which actually belong to the Malaysian people. We've had the chief commissioner in a controversy that hasn't properly been resolved. We've had several policemen that have been taken to task and have been charged for corruption and other very serious crimes, including underworld crimes and so on. So there's very little faith in the fact that our law enforcement is actually serious about weeding out corruption. And I think that is the first thing that really needs to be tackled. We need public institutions that are independent. We need public institutions that will act without fear, without fervor. So until that is fixed, I don't think the next policy, which is a shoot to kill policy, is something that is going to work in Malaysia either. It is not suitable. But what we really need is trustworthy enforcement officials, trustworthy politicians who are actually sitting there in the corridors of power and actually looking at how public policy is maintained and developed, etc. And so there are a lot of blocks because they themselves are involved in corrupt practices. So I'd like to say that this whole thing about amnesty needs to be studied a bit more and what it actually entails. What is a serious crime? What is not a serious crime when it comes to corruption needs to be clearly defined. And only those that maybe pay a petty bribe for corruption or something need to be dealt with differently from those that have stolen public funds and stolen billions of public funds and are still walking free. And now that actually makes the fact that no one is actually serious about enforcing corrupt offenders, especially those that commit grand, very large corruption scandals. So if those people are still walking free, then it actually sends a very bad signal to everyone else who thinks that, okay, if that guy can actually walk free and he was so powerful and he's stolen billions, then what is a smaller corruption crime? So the message that's being sent now is really absolutely fundamentally flawed and it's structurally wrong. And I think Dato' Sri Nazir has actually been trying to address that with a very strict policy. Now, we do not condone capital or corporal punishment. So shoot to kill, definitely no. But perhaps what we can replace that with is life imprisonment, as in the case of Indonesia, for example, where a very strong anti-corruption commission had actually brought a chief justice to trial and actually prosecuted him and sent him to life imprisonment. And that is something that Malaysia has never seen. The corrupted crooks and criminals are still walking free. And it is really, really a wrong message sent to the public. So I would say that the amnesty needs to be studied much more about what is a heinous crime, what is a small crime, and no shoot to kill policy. But definitely a stronger prison term, stronger life imprisonment even, and even actually paying back through whatever means the money that was actually stolen.
So what other strategies could work, or what other strategies would you like to see put in place if there was the political will to push for it?
Yeah, so as I was mentioning just now, I think the best strategy is to clean up the public institutions meant to protect our health and our security, and to actually ensure that corruption scandals come to a stop. We actually have to have transparent, accountable, open appointments of credible individuals in all of these institutions, especially the MACC, the judiciary, and the Attorney General's office and his chambers. We really need to strengthen and enforce prison terms for corrupt offenders that have stolen public funds, especially. And those persons that have actually violated that rule of protecting the people and actually amassing public wealth for personal gain should actually be sent to prison and look at life imprisonment as a very, very serious policy reform for corrupt offenders. So it is really time to clean up the system. It's really time to ensure that the situation of enforcement must be dealt with without fear, without favor. Right now, what we have just doesn't work. And many a time, people actually question if there's selective prosecution also. Why this case? Why not that case? Why this and not that, etc.? And if they themselves cause a trust deficit on the people, then it shows that no one is really serious about tackling corruption crimes. And that appears to be the problem that we have today. So the strategy is to strengthen enforcement strategies, strengthen public institution strategies, strengthen sentencing.
Cynthia, before we let you go, just briefly, now these were comments that Nazir made during a Q&A session, but a lot of the responses are quite telling. What do you make of the fact that this came from the brother of Najib Razak, who himself is at the heart of the largest corruption case in Malaysia?
Well, it was very interesting what he said, but I think what he also said was rather harsh. And so that's why it elicited a lot of comments. But it was important to actually then, you know, analyze whether amnesty would work, whether shoot to kill, as was done in Hong Kong, was a suitable policy, etc. But it's really important that we uphold the rule of law and that we do not condone corporal or capital punishment in this country.
Cynthia, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Cynthia Gabriel, human rights advocate at C4, the Centre to Combat Corruption and Cronyism. We would like to hear from you. Would you like to see this principle applied here? Do you think there should be amnesty for mild corruption? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after this for your messages, so keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry-free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It's 5:21. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we are talking about a statement from Tan Sri Nazir Razak, who, when asked what he would do if he was in power, essentially talked about combating corruption with a two-prong approach of amnesty for past crimes, past cases of mild corruption, as well as a shoot-to-kill anti-graft policy moving forward. So we are asking you whether you think this would work here. Would you like to see it applied here? Do you think there should be amnesty for mild corruption? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have some thoughts.
Yes. So Cheryl starts us off saying, no amnesty for corruption, no more discounts for traffic summons. Please, there must be better ways than this.
I find that connection between the traffic summons and the concept of amnesty quite telling, in the sense that I think we generally have a culture of everything can be worked out somehow.
Yes.
And that's where this is coming from.
Including time.
Yes.
I know that it's not, now is not the time and place to start going on about the Malaysian sense of timing, but I think it's all off a piece. This idea that, yeah, I know it's wrong, but it's only a little bit wrong and I was sorry and let's work it out. Let's talk about it. And I think that there is this sense that our laissez-faire, you know, live and let live approach has somewhat led us down the path that we're currently treading that none of us are particularly happy about. But I agree, because actually when I read your message, Cheryl, my first thought was, yeah, I really see that connection and I see why you're making it and I agree with it.
Meanwhile, on Twitter, Gayatri is saying, it's 2022, too late to be thinking about amnesty or a buffer to push for anti-corruption. Pursue all cases and individuals with the same rigour.
So I agree with that in principle. I did, however, want to add on a point that Nazir Razak brought up that I think that we didn't mention earlier, which was that part of the reason why he said he was talking about offering amnesty was because otherwise there would be too many cases, that corruption is endemic to a point that if we were to investigate all cases with the same rigor, as we should, that would then clog up the system and create a sort of backlog in terms of addressing these cases. And I think that there is something there to consider when we also talk about needing to reform our institutions, needing to strengthen our institutions, needing to ensure that they are going to be carrying out their duties without fear or favor. So I see where you're coming from. I understand the perspective. And I think that if we were to do that, then the institutions absolutely need to be strengthened, and probably also there should be more of them. We would need to hire more people.
Yes, and clarity also, I think, because at this point, of course, this is a hypothetical conversation. And I think that if this was something we ended up pursuing, I would really want to know what mild corruption meant, which is something our guest Cynthia also pointed out.
Yeah, because one person's mild corruption is another person's million-dollar case, right? And I think that until we have, and I don't know if we do, until we have a true bird's eye view, a true view of what are we talking about? What is the scope of the issue of corruption in our country? What kinds of cases are under investigation? Only then will you be able to see the sliding scale, right? Because until you have that whole picture, I think it's going to be very difficult to contend with this question of mild versus severe.
Well, speaking of that, Khun Bun says, go for the big fish with heavy penalties to show the public that we are serious in fighting corruption.
Yeah, so I think that there have been attempts to do that and that we are currently in the midst of that. How effective it's been, I don't know.
Keep those thoughts coming. We are talking about a remark by Tan Sri Nazir Razak on how to get our corruption cases down, basically proposing amnesty for past mild cases and a shoot-to-kill policy moving forward. Would you like to see this principle applied? Do you think there should be amnesty for mild corruption? That number to call, 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.